Hey, welcome to the sermon series from Life Church Green Bay. It's our mission to bring the life-giving message of Jesus to the 920 and beyond. We're so glad you're here. If this is your first time joining us, we want to do life with you. While you're listening, fill out the hello card on our website so we can connect with you. Visit lifechurchgreenbay.com/hello to fill it out. Make sure to check the I'm new here and online options while filling out the card. Again, we're so glad you're with us today. Here's this week's message.
Good morning and happy Resurrection Sunday. And this is a day where we're not just celebrating a man or even a sacrifice, but today we're celebrating a miracle. A miracle that defies the natural and goes into the supernatural. A miracle where a man died, was put in a tomb, and that tomb was covered with a stone and guarded by Roman soldiers, but he didn't stay in that tomb. After 3 days, he defeats death and the grave and comes out of that tomb. And this miracle, it wasn't witnessed by just some, but in fact, many. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says that he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by his apostle. This act, this supernatural miracle is what we're celebrating today because it's the moment that has been changing lives for thousands of years. And who am I talking about? Well, that's the title of my message. This is Jesus. Can we pray? Lord, thank you. Thank you. Lord, for doing the impossible so that we could be set free. Thank you for coming and living a sinless life and doing more than just being a good person, but you brought authority and power. You did the impossible, even defeating death. And I pray as we go in your message today and we go in your word, that it would not fall on deaf ears, but people would hear it and be forever changed by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The first four books of the New Testament are called the Gospels. And that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're all stories of Jesus' life and ministry from perspectives of four different writers. And so because of that, some of the books have similar stories and some of them don't. But all the Gospels do have, though, is they cover the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. But even in that, they all have a different ending of what Jesus says and does after he comes back from the dead. Now, I'm not saying that one is right or the other is wrong. They just are different parts that stuck out to the writers and how they just really show how the life and ministry of Jesus has such a wide range that reading just one is not good enough. Honestly, we should read all of them to really get that perspective. With that being said, I want to go to the first book of the gospel, Matthew, and I want to go to the last chapter, chapter 28. And if you don't have a Bible, we'd love for you to download the Bible app. It's this free app. It's a great app that has so many versions to read, plans that you could do by yourself. But also, if you click on events in the More tab and go to Life Church Green Bay, all of the notes and scripture I'm going to use will be there for you. But if you want a physical Bible, on your way out at our info center, we're going to have some physical Bibles and some free devotionals that for you to have and take and just help you there. If you're watching online or if you are in our overflow room, hey, thank you. I love you. I love you guys. I am so glad you guys are here with us on this Easter Sunday. So with that being said, let's jump to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to start reading verse 16. And I'm reading out the New Living Translation. It says this: Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you even to the end of the age. If anyone has ever been in sales, I just want to commend you right now. Because I found out real quick that that's something I'm not good at or I should ever do. Or maybe I should put more effort into it. I don't know. But growing up, my dad was a salesman. In fact, he's still a salesman. All my life, I've only known my dad as a salesman. And so when it was my opportunity to get in the workforce, my dad was excited because he was hoping I would join the family business. And I wish it was easy as just putting a suit on and learning a spiel, but you had to kind of go up the ladder in salesmanship. And so I had to be a canvasser first. And what a canvasser was a person who would go door to door and try to convince a person to meet another person who would try to sell you something. And so we'd get in this van and we would drive from neighborhood to neighborhood. They'd drop us off and we would literally go door to door. We had a speech to say and we'd go to the door and say, excuse me, ma'am, excuse me, sir. I was wondering if you're interested in meeting one of our salesmen to talk to you about. No? Okay, thank you so much. And we go another door. Excuse me, sir. I was wondering if you, okay. I mean, it was bad. I mean, I had people who were like, no, not interested. It was just like really loud. No, not interested. Okay. And there was even one guy. He's outside in his lawn, and I'm coming towards his door, and we connect eyes, and he goes, don't even think about it. Get. And I was like, get? Like, come on. So I get back in the van, my head's down, and I just remember saying to myself, I'm never going to do this again. This is not for me. So I go to my dad. I just let him know, hey, Dad, I don't think the salesmanship is in me. I don't think I want to do it. In fact, I'm going to quit. And he was kind of shocked. He's like, you only get it one day. You're going to quit after one day? And I know some of you might be saying the same thing, like, you only gave it one day? And the problem wasn't fear. And it wasn't that I didn't know what to say. I knew what to say. I had lines. I had speeches, all of that. The problem was I didn't know what I was selling. Yes, I knew I was selling solar screens, but could I tell you what solar screens were? Not really. Like, do they just cover windows? Are they like window tinting? Like, I didn't know what they did, and I didn't know why people needed them. And if you've been in church long enough, you've probably heard someone give a message on verses 19 and 20 of Matthew 28, where we're supposed to go and make disciples. But sometimes we shoot right past verse 18. And like me trying to sell solar screens, if you don't know how powerful verse 18 is, it's very hard for us to go and make disciples. So today I want to really focus on verse 18 because there's so much power and weight behind it. So let's go back to that verse again. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. That word authority in the Greek is the word exousia, which means to have the right to control or govern, to have dominion. And we even see in the book of Daniel, where Daniel even goes further to describe the weight of authority. It says, to him was given ruling authority, honor, and sovereignty, which is power. All people, nations and languages, groups were serving him. His authority is external and will not pass away. His kingdom will not be destroyed. So that authority that Jesus is talking about is eternal, unable to be destroyed, and it's for all people. His authority is for everyone, and his authority was given to Jesus after the resurrection. Now, why would Jesus need to say he has authority after the resurrection when he has already said he had authority before the resurrection? We actually see in Matthew chapter 9, he says, but if you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed and go home. So he says he has authority there, but after resurrection, he also says his authority. Well, there's two things we have to remember in that portion of scripture. Number one is this, it was a reminder. Again, we see in verse 17 that some doubted. Some saw him, even though they saw him do the impossible, they were still going, I'm not sure. So it was a reminder, but it also was a restructure. Because while Jesus was on earth, he had authority that was given him by the Father. And that authority he used on individual places and individual people. Yes, he healed a blind man. Yes, he healed a paralytic. Yes, he healed a woman with the issue of blood. And he did individual things at individual times. But after the resurrection, he has all authority. And all has no limit. It goes beyond some. All goes beyond most. All is everything and everyone without exception. All is all. So Jesus has been given a limitless, non-expiring right to control and govern in heaven, is what he says. And what does the Bible say about heaven? Well, we see in multiple scriptures, one being Revelation 21, that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death, nor sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. In 1 Peter, we see that heaven is pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. In Deuteronomy 26, he calls heaven God's holy dwelling place. So Jesus has all authority of the things that are good, powerful, peaceful, hopeful, whole, unending, everything that would be described as good and pleasing and perfect. Jesus has all authority of a place where when he was on the cross and the thief said, "Remember me," he says, "You will be with me in paradise." And he had all authority of that. Now imagine if the resurrection story ended there. That he died on the cross and 3 days later he comes back and is given all authority of heaven. I mean, that would be good, but for many of us that'd feel unattainable. It would just feel like a good story. Like your friend winning the lottery. I mean, that's good for them, but not really good for you. And what I love is that the resurrection story is more than that. Because Jesus says, "I have all authority in heaven and on earth." So what does that mean to have all authority, an unending, no limit authority on earth? Well, we have to start with what we know about earth. And the very first book of the Bible is Genesis. And that's where we get the story of creation. Where God creates the earth and everything in the earth in 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he rests. And all of this was good. And then one of God's creations was Adam, who he put in charge of care for the Garden of Eden with one command we see in Genesis chapter 2, where he says, "But the Lord God warned him, 'You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you will surely die.'" We go on in that chapter and we see that he is tempted, him and Eve, by this serpent to say, "Will you really die?" And even as readers, we go, well, they didn't really die in that moment, but they did. Because of their disobedience that brought sin, and that sin brought death. See, Adam and Eve were in a perfect place and they were supposed to be there for eternity. But because sin had entered the world, they would one day die. And so two things happened after the fall. Sin entered the world, and the world needed a savior. And so for hundreds of years, hundreds of times, people had to deal with the weight of sin, the wages of sin, the sacrifices of sins, and they were told rules after rules, things to not do and not do, and they were just hoping and waiting to see if this savior would finally come. And then we get the Gospels. We get the story of Jesus, who is God's Son, who was brought to us with a virgin birth, and he would be our Savior. And Jesus tells us in one of the most famous scriptures in John 3:16, this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have resurrecting, everlasting life. So us celebrating the Resurrection Sunday is not just bad news. It's good news, which I know I had to start with bad news. And for some of you guys like that, some of you guys are bad news people first. And some of you are good news people first. You know, I mean, that's just the reality of it. Kind of reminds me of this story of a man who's going to a doctor for just a checkup. The doctor comes in the room and he says, I've got some bad news and I've got some good news. What do you want to hear first? And I'm going to be honest with you. Any doctor comes in to the room and tells me, I got some bad news and I got some good news. What do you want to hear first? I'm like, you know what? I want to hear a second opinion. I don't like this bad news, good news stuff. Like, that's not, I don't like the etiquette. Go get me someone else who's going to say it a little different. Anyways, then he says this to the man. And the man goes, well, obviously I would like the good news, please. He says, well, the good news is they're going to name the disease after you. Now, this is not a real story. I found it on the internet. But the reality of it is that's not really good news. And for some of us, we look at the resurrection story the same way. Like, we've been told that Jesus died for our sins, and if we believe in him, then we'll go to heaven. And for some of us, that's good news. But it's not good enough for us to make any changes in our life. Like, it's not good enough for us to really surrender to all of that. Yeah, we'll go to God when we're in need and we need forgiveness and if we're feeling down. I mean, we'll go to him when things are tough. But like every day, at all times, in all situations, I don't know about that. Because that's all I need, right? And I wish that was all that the resurrection story was. But the reality is, that's just a piece of it. All authority in heaven and on earth means that Jesus is bringing heaven and earth back together by eliminating the reason it was separate to begin with, which is sin. So when he says all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he's saying the things of heaven and the great things of earth are coming together, and this salvation and this relationship isn't just for later, it's for now. God wants us to live in freedom and the blessings even now, not later. This is more than just a get out of hell free card. Tim Mackey said salvation has to be more than get out of hell free, but it's allowing all of heaven in and allowing God to get all of the hell out of us. So it's a transformed life. It's taking us from where we are to where God always wanted us to be. Christianity has to go beyond just being, I'm a good person now. No, he is great and greatly to be praised. Christianity has to go beyond us just saying, okay, I'm going to stop doing those things now. No. I'm going to start following in his ways, in his word, in his promises, and allow those things to transform me from the inside out. Now, I know some of you, that's hard to grasp. That's hard for you to believe because every day we look around and all we see is bad. And for some of us, it just feels like our world is getting worse and worse and people are getting further and further away from God. And that makes sense. And I think that's why we see in the book of Romans, it talks about this. For the wages of sin is death. That's the reality. Our sin, our wrong choices, whether big, small, or medium, they lead to death. But, and this is a big but, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, sin has brought us death, but Jesus has brought us life and eternal life that we can experience right now. So the reality is, when Jesus says he has all authority, that means the devil has none. That means the demons have none. That means those thoughts that come in your head have no authority because Jesus has all the authority. That means when people try to come against you, you say, no, I serve a God who has all the authority and in heaven and on earth, and he is living and moving in my life. But the reality is this also. Because he has all the authority, that means I have none of the authority. And that means you have none of the authority. So for us to walk in a transformed life that gets to experience the blessings of heaven and earth coming together now, we have to submit and surrender to the authority Jesus has. This means we have to go from a place where we stop trying to do good things for God. where we stop, okay, I'm going to do good things for you. No, God never wanted you to do good things for him. He wants to do good through you and do things with you. He doesn't want this to be a Jesus piece. He wants to be the center of your life. And he's saying, when you make me the center of your life, all authority that is in heaven and on earth comes with me and is in you. So that's why he says to go and tell, because there's something living in us that needs to come out of us for people to see and experience. So doing this isn't just hearing the resurrection story, it's experiencing it. My pastor said this so powerfully to me a couple weeks ago. He said, forgiveness is our resurrection from the dead. See, God resurrected from the dead and he made us no longer bound by death. So therefore, we are no longer bound by it because we have eternal life in him. And that's why he told his disciples to go. He said, go and tell and make disciples because there's something living in you that needs to come out of you. And this was easy for the disciples. We see in Matthew chapter 16 that Jesus asked them one day, who do you think people say that I am? Like, what's going on? What's the word? What are you hearing? The disciples say, well, you know, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say Jeremiah. And then he stops and he looks at them and he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says it first. He says, well, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. But here's what I love. The disciples didn't just know. They experienced and they surrendered and they submitted. How do I know this? Because as soon as they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. But some doubted, but they still worshiped. They still draw close to him. And so he's saying that what that thing that is in you, that transformed life that is in you, it needs to not stay in you. It needs to come out of you. And in fact, you need to go and tell and make disciples and baptize them, because what's transforming your life will transform their lives, and it'll keep going and going and going. I'm here to tell you on Resurrection Sunday, God wants to transform your life in a way that you can't contain, in a way that you can't hold on to anymore. And he's saying, I don't want you to. I want you to take it in your workplace. I want you to take it in your schools. I want you to take it in your neighborhoods, because it's going to cause people to say, I want that too. God wants us to experience the blessings of a man coming to earth, living a sinless life, teaching the ways of a godly life, doing miracles that no one has ever seen before. But then that man absorbed, like a sponge, not just moving it from one place to the other, like wiping a cloth, but soaking it up like it was never there to begin with. And he takes that absorption, and it's all of our sin, our failures, our mistakes, all of that. He takes it to the cross, but he doesn't stay dead. He goes into the tomb and he wrings out all those sins, all those choices, all of those things we thought we were bound to. He wrings it out and comes back to take back and reconnect what sin tried to separate, that his kingdom will come, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're celebrating today. And I wonder, has sin made a mess of your life? Has it gotten you to the point where, even though I'm talking about how God can transform you and change you, you go, no, you don't understand the sin I have in my life. You don't understand what I've done and the background I have, and even what I did before coming to this church. You don't understand who I was before here. And God goes, I do. And guess what? I have all authority. Your sin is not too big to be saved. Your sin is not too messy for me to absorb it away. And he wants to absorb it. He wants to remove it. He wants to change and transform your life. He wants to make you into a new creation where the old is gone and the new will be begun. He wants to transform you in such a way where people look at you and go, I don't even recognize you anymore. And it's not that you're giving people guilt trips or hard times. You're just letting the living God live in you and come out of you through your words and actions. And there's things that you thought you couldn't live without that you find yourself having no appetite for. That is what a transformed life can be. And that's why he went to the cross. And that's why he died and overcame death, so that he can come back and tell the world, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now take it. Let it be a part of your life and go and tell others about it. Can I pray with you? See, salvation is that. Salvation is more than just understanding that Jesus lived the sinless life and died on the cross. No, salvation is accepting that a gift by allowing him to be our Lord and our Savior. Lord meaning, I'm giving you all control because you have it anyways. And Savior meaning, I'm not going to allow guilt or shame or anything to try to keep me from pursuing you. Because of what you did, you became the Passover lamb. You became the sacrifice that when death comes and tries to take me and tries to separate me from God, death does not see me. Death does not see my past. Death does not see my reputation. All death sees is the blood. And he knows that if we have the blood, that it will pass over. So he just wants to be our Lord and Savior. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be the center of life, and he wants to transform your life. And all you have to do is welcome him in. It's more than believing. Scripture says that even the demons believe and they run in fear. No, he wants a relationship. He wants to be the center of your life. So we're gonna do one of two things with everyone's head bowed, eyes closed. Why? Because I want you to have a one-on-one moment with God and ask yourself, do I just believe or is he the center of my life? And if he isn't, he wants to be. So we're gonna do one of two things. I'm just gonna have you raise your hand and look at me. And then all of us are gonna say a prayer together. There's nothing magical about the prayer. I didn't even write it down. I'm just gonna say whatever God puts on my heart. But if we believe that God's, that is the access, that is the code for you to allow God in your life and begin to transform your life. So please don't hesitate. If you're here today, God wants to change your life. So if that's you and you want him to be the center of your life, you want to have a relationship with him, you want him to be your Lord and your Savior, can you just raise your hand and look at me real quick? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love it. Because we're going beyond believing. We want him to change our life. Anyone else? We want to be real and alive in our life. I'm not going to go another day, another moment. I need him in my life. Anyone else? Am I missing? Okay. Church, let's say this prayer together. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life. Change me. Make me new. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us this week. Follow our other podcasts so you can be updated when new episodes are released. We have a wide variety of podcasts to choose from. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you next week.